This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Wall-to-wall Yankees Red Sox hour number one. For all the wrong reasons with the COVID suspension of yesterday's game, but maybe for all the right reasons, if it promotes even more guys saying, you know what, these Yankees are going to be okay, they're vaccinated, I'm going to get vaccinated, and now we're going to have baseball, it looks like, for the rest of the weekend. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. I'm Bob Wischusen, in for the guys, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We've got some open lines at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You want to talk Yankees? Want to talk trade deadline? We will definitely get to your telephone calls coming up, but who better to talk Yankees with than the voice of the New York Yankees, and that is Michael Kay, as we are an hour away from the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN here in New York later on this afternoon. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate
it. Good.
Hey, by the way, how are the sales with the book going? How are we doing?
They're doing well. They're doing very well. We're happy, and I'm glad a lot of people are enjoying it, so it's cool.
If you're a fan of Center Stage, you got to get it. And by the way, I'm not sure if you know what's going on Monday, but I was hoping that I was going to get a little bit of help from you before we get to the Yankees. Have you seen the leaderboard at the Open Championship so far this today?
I have not.
I know you're a golfer now. Like, I know you're dialed into this and how good, apparently,
not really,
you are in the infancy of your golfing career.
Infancy, not yes.
So we've got Morikawa and Spieth tied at the top of the leaderboard. Louis Oosthuizen just made another birdie. He now joins them. So Morikawa, Spieth, and Oosthuizen tied for the lead. Some of the names that are within, say, four or five shots of the lead: Koepka, Casey, Finau, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, it's a tremendous leaderboard. I'm joining Don LaGreca on Monday covering for you guys. I know you and Peter are not going to be in, so it's me and Don hosting the Michael Kay Show on Monday. So what I'm hoping is that even in your absence, you are the steward of that show. It's your name on the show. I think you realize that if we get like a Spieth-Morikawa duel on Sunday, that demands at least one, if not three, golf guests, I would think, on Monday's Michael Kay Show to service the listeners. Would you agree with that?
Well, not necessarily, because I know that the guy you're doing the show with has been quoted as saying, if they played the Masters in my backyard, I would call police to have them stop.
Yes, exactly. So what I'm hoping you'll realize is a dual-purpose, dual-pronged effort here. A, we will service the listeners by talking about a golf major. And B, while you and Peter aren't in there, you may maybe a couple times during the show, click on and literally hear Don's brain bleeding out of his ears if we're able to talk golf a little bit on Monday. I think that would be, selfishly for you and me, like that entertaining element of it, in addition to talking about the golf tournament.
See, now you've hooked me in. Just to see Don bleed out of the ears would
100%.
Be fun.
What other motivation would I really have to get three golf gets on the show on Monday, if not that?
Motivation enough for me. I'm totally with you.
Hey, look, how surprised were you by what happened yesterday with the Yankees? How, you know, was it one of those kind of PTSD moments like it was for me as a baseball fan, and where do we go from here?
I think anybody's surprised because, you know, the vaccinations obviously have worked very well, but they don't stop you from getting the disease again. And there might be people out there that have vaccinations and they actually get it and they have no really reaction, but these players get tested all the time. Now, I'm not sure that all six Yankees that got it were in fact vaccinated. I have no idea. Brian Cashman keeps hinting that most of them were, so I don't know what that means, but it scared me a little bit, Bob, because the previous night I reveled in watching Milwaukee against Phoenix. I thought it was a great game four, and they kept showing shots of the crowd, and everybody's sitting on top of each other and screaming, and no mask. You just allow yourself to fall victim to the world back. You know, this is great. It's gone. Well, it's not gone. And I think yesterday was a sober reminder that it's not gone. There's still remnants of this insidious virus that's out there, and, you know, we're going to have to, I think, for a long time.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing watching the All-Star game, right? I mean, watching the home run derby. I mean, my wife walked in the room. She's like, wow, look at that Coors Field. It looks amazing. Every seat is filled, and those aren't cardboard cutouts in the background. And, you know, the first game back from that, we get this. How about how this now impacts the Yankees just purely on the field baseball-wise? I mean, at the very least, they're going to be without their starting third baseman, their starting right fielder, and probably the two most consistent offensive players they've had the whole season for what could be a season-defining 10 days.
I think it's enormous. I mean, you almost feel funny talking about the baseball aspect of it, but there are games to be played. So you lose your all-star, you lose one of your rock-solid guys and defensive players with Urshela. And let's not forget, Bob, their best consistent reliever all year has been Jonathan Loaisiga. He's right. Still out. Nestor Cortes, I know this sounds weird, over the last 3 weeks has been their second-best starter after Gerrit Cole. You don't have him.
Michael
and Wandy Peralta, also, you don't have him. So these are people that play a big role with the Yankees, and they're going to have to be replaced. And, you know, no knock on Trey Ambergy, but, you know, you got a 26-year-old making his major league debut. He's essentially filling in for Aaron Judge. So you can't say that this is a full Yankee team, but it is what it is, and they have to take the field tonight.
Michael Kay joining us on the Goodyear Hotline and giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Bob Wischus in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Having said that, how do you look at what the long-term ramifications of these next 2 weeks have been? I just had Jeff Passan on, and he didn't really think, no matter what happens over the next 2 weeks, that the Yankees are going to be in, all right, well, now we feel like if we play badly, we're out of it. Let's blow it up mode. It's just not Brian Cashman style. And with the new era of Yankee baseball, I know we always talk about, what if George were here? Well, he's not. It's not really their style to blow it up. So do you think there is a circumstance that could happen over these next 2 weeks, especially without Judge and Urshela, where they would say, let's just really, you know, throw it in on this season and plan for a different kind of future?
I heard what Jeff said, and I tend to agree with him for this very reason. Let's say they lose all 8 games to the Red Sox, and I don't think that's going to happen. Well, that would eliminate them from winning the American League East, but they still have a more than a puncher's chance to get the wild card, and the Yankees are going to be loath to sit there and say, you know, we're going to cash in our chips. And the other part that a lot of people keep bringing this up, Bob, you know, they're going to blow it up. Well, how?
Right.
Well, what's blow upable? The only guy that, you know, would be the kind of trade that would resonate would be Aaron Judge. I don't think they're going to do that. I mean, they do have a decision to make on him, because after next year he's a free agent. Are you going to sign him at the age of 30 to a long-term deal? That's, you know, that's their issue. You know, that's a higher pay grade than me. But blow it up, they're not trading Gerrit Cole. They wouldn't want to anyway. Who else is on the team that's so desirable that they could make a seismic move that's going to bring back something that really helps? And the salary that you'd want to dump, you're not going to be able to dump it. People see what's going on. You think you could trade Chapman now? Absolutely not. So I don't think it's blow-upable, to make up a word.
On the flip side, though, outside of, say, Jason Dominguez or taking on an enormous amount of salary, even if they wanted to be buyers at the trade deadline, how much ammunition do they have? What do you think is realistic that they could do?
They've got ammunition, Bob. They do. I mean, they don't have any major league ready guys in the minors right now, other than, you know, a guy like Trey Ambergy, you know, who's, you know, been a career minor leaguer. But you've got guys like Peraza down there. You've got guys like Luis Gil down there. It doesn't have to be Dominguez. There are people that can play, but they're at the level of the minors in A and AA. The Yankee system, if you look at the record of all the Yankee minor league teams, much higher than most of Major League Baseball. So they are winning, and they're running teams out there, and I'm sure there are certainly desirable players that the Yankees have in the system. They're just not Major League ready at this point. But if the Yankees wanted to put together a deal, wow, they could put together a deal. I just don't know how wise that would be to give away, you know, your top lower-level prospects right now to take a shot, because that's what it would be, to take a shot at winning the American League East.
Michael Kay Show coming up, 98.7 ESPN, top of the next hour locally here in New York, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus right now. All right, having said that, and this is a devil's advocate question, so just understand, I don't believe that the answer to this question in any way, shape, or form should be yes. But your take, is there any chance that depending on what happens the rest of the season, if it really goes downhill, that either Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, or both would be in trouble?
Well, I will answer first with this caveat. I really like Aaron Boone a lot. All right, so I'm not going to hide that.
Yep.
I believe if they don't make the playoffs, he probably doesn't come back. Now, I don't think it would be his fault. I think this is a roster construction problem, not a manager's problem, but the manager's going to take the hit. That's all there is to it. I mean, how would Hal Steinbrenner and the Steinbrenner family explain to Yankee fans, we did make the playoffs with a $207 million payroll, and no one leaves? Now, the Brian Cashman situation is much more complex. I mean, to me, Brian is almost like a de facto member of the Steinbrenner family. I mean, he has been working for the Yankees for 35 years, the same amount of length that I have been. You know, I've been the broadcaster, so he's been there forever. He's part of the furniture. I think it would be very tough for Hal to pull the plug on Brian Cashman. So something would have to be done if they don't make the playoffs, and I think that the sacrificial lamb, although it would be unfair, would probably be Aaron Boone.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Boone has been handed, as you said, a roster that anyone that looks at it from the outside in says is flawed, and it's playing like a flawed roster. And I think everybody, I mean, I don't want to completely absolve Aaron Boone of all blame. He is the manager. But there are a lot of decisions that are being made as to who he plays, how much he plays, and how this all gets put together above his head. So really, would it be anything other than scapegoating the manager if they were to let him go?
I have said this over and over. One of the most difficult things now when you follow baseball, I know you're a Met fan, Bob, is that in the past, we always knew who to blame.
Right.
In 2021, you just don't know who to blame. Who's making out the lineups? Who's choosing the pitching lanes that come out of the bullpen? Who's doing that? Is it the manager? Is it the front office? Is it the analytics crew? We have no idea. And I've said this on my show, Bob, and I'll say it again. Any manager that actually follows to the letter and is in lockstep with their front office, any manager that's fired, it is the biggest load of hypocrisy I've ever seen, because it would just be throwing chum to the masses. The manager's doing what he's being told to do. Most of these managers that work for analytic teams either buy in 100% and believe it, or they figure, you know what, it's one of 30 jobs, I'll do what I'm told, see how it works out. But the front office is not going to fire itself, Bob, and I think that fans are going to demand some skin. And the skin they would get would probably be the manager, and I think it would be unfair. I really do. Yeah. And, you know, I fight with Yankee fans on our show all the time. Oh, Boone doesn't do this, Boone doesn't. Well, do we know what Boone's responsible for? Do we know exactly what is his fault and what's not? And until you do, I think it's just unfair to say, he has to go, this guy has to go. We need a delineation of responsibility to tell us exactly who's making what decision.
Yeah, and I said this the other day. I'll see if you agree. Nobody ever calls a sports talk show to say the manager was right. Right? They only ever call a sports
right.
talk show to scream and yell when they think the manager or the general manager is wrong. How about Saturday night? Like, you could almost see in the background or hear the ringing of, like, the analytics bat phone going off behind Aaron Boone's shoulder saying, get Garrett Cole out. He's been through the lineup three times. He's thrown 110 pitches. Go to your bullpen. And he even walked out to the mound that had to be talked down by Garrett Cole, but to his credit, I thought if there was a signature moment so far for Aaron Boone as a manager where he basically told everybody in the world of analytics, stick it. I am sticking with my $340 million bulldog competitor, and everything says I should get him out of the game right now. I'm leaving him out there. I'm going to trust him with the game, and Garrett Cole made the decision to pay off. Now, it worked. And because it worked, no one's going to call and second-guess it. But how many Yankee fans were yelling at the TV right then saying, go to, you know, whether it be Chapman or whoever you wanted to go to at that point? He kept Garrett Cole in the game on Saturday night, and to his credit, it worked out.
I looked at that decision. You know, I was watching that game on TV. It was a Fox game.
Yep.
And I thought it was the decision of circumstance more than like a gut call or anything like that. Bob, they had nowhere to go. And yeah. I think that had to be the most difficult decision of Aaron Boone's career, because you're pushing Garrett Cole, your stud, your ace, to a number that he has never reached in his career, a number that not one starting pitcher has reached all season, because you know that if you went to Chapman there, you were losing. You were losing. You didn't have Chad Green available because he had pitched the previous night. And I think that was gut-wrenching, because the reason it becomes gut-wrenching, Bob, you're going to push Garrett Cole to 129. The health of this guy is so imperative for the Yankees over the next 7 years, 7 years at $36 million a year, and you're risking his health to win that game. Now, Gerrit Cole wanted to be in there, but I'll tell you this. If Aroldis Chapman was right, Gerrit Cole would have never, ever come out of the dugout after the eighth inning. At 112 pitches, he would have taken a seat. Chapman would have come in, would have closed the game. They would have won 1-0. But the fact that they had nowhere to go and they needed to win that game, that was a decision of circumstance more than anything else.
All that being said, though, at least maybe from, to frame it through my narrative, I'm going to try to be right, when he went out to the mound and they got into, like, the, you could see Gerrit Cole getting angry, right? Like, pleading his case. Wasn't that the moment where he was trying to take him out and he let the starter and the trust, I guess, between the two dictate that he stayed in?
I would think at that point, Bob, Aaron Boone would have rather had a nice shot of arsenic than take Gerrit Cole out of the game. I think he strode to the mound hoping that Gerrit Cole was going to be Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is an absolute stud.
Yep.
He's one of the best free agents the Yankees will ever sign. The fact that he went out there that day against a really good offense without sticky stuff, which obviously seems like it's affected him, and put that kind of performance together, this guy is a throwback. He could have hung with Tom Seaver and Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale. That's the type of guy this guy is. I think that Aaron Boone wanted to be talked out of it. He came out, and if Gerrit Cole said, "I got nothing," then obviously he would have had to go to Chapman, and he would have lost the game. He knew it. He wanted to be talked out of it.
Yep. Hey, one more before I let you go. I know you got a show to get ready for, but one more on Brian Cashman. This is what I said a couple days ago, and I'm just curious to see if you agree. That, yes, Brian Cashman, part of the furniture, part of the Steinbrenner family, it would be probably the hardest thing for Hal to ever do, to walk down to Brian Cashman's office and sit across from him and let him go. Having said all that, Brian Cashman has never presided over a losing season. And those rings, yeah, they're kind of in the rearview mirror now, but they're still on his fingers. And this is a team that won, you know, was arguably the best offensive team in baseball a couple of years ago. They are perennial playoff, you know, a perennial playoff team. When you have all of that on your resume, doesn't Brian Cashman, if he looks at this roster and says, all right, I put together a flawed roster, but he deserves to be the one to try and fix it?
I look at it this way. I think Brian is an exceptional GM, and a lot of fans take exception when I say this. If he left the Yankees, he'd have a job in 6 minutes.
Right.
Now, I don't know if he'd make $6 million a year like he does now, but he would be running a team within 5 to 6 minutes. That's how respected he is in the game. I think he put together a flawed roster. That doesn't mean you get a death sentence out of it. Now, there's another lineage of people, Bob, that would say, okay, since 2010, he has spent over $2.5 billion of Steinbrenner's money to bring in players, and they don't have a championship to show for it. So, I mean, you could, if you brought this to a court of law, you could make the case on either side. I think Brian is an outstanding GM, and if Hal Steinbrenner stayed with him, I totally get it. Here's what I would, if I was Hal, if I wanted to keep Brian, here's what I would tell him. Brian, let's just back off a little bit with all the eggheads. I understand the value of numbers. I understand the value of analytics. Let's put some soul into it, too. Let's not just go by the numbers. And, you know, when Hal spoke with the media a couple of weeks ago, he said that they do that. But then you talk to people around baseball, and they say they don't do that. So I think the Yankees have to have a little bit more feel the way it used to be without going back on the numbers, because the numbers work. It's proven that it works. Anybody that says you got to stop analytics completely, well, they're out of touch.
Right.
I think the Yankees have a great analytics staff, but I think they have to listen to baseball people too.
Michael, thanks a million for the time. By the way, Oosthuizen just made another birdie, so he's one shot ahead of Morikawa and Spieth. But Rahm, I think, made a birdie a moment ago. Dustin Johnson, we've got household names moving up the leaderboard. I'm telling you, it's going to be a dramatic Sunday. Golf guests, I think, is the way to go on the Michael Kay Show on Monday.
Do you realize, though, Bob, that LeGreco refuses to call it the Open? He still says it's the British Open.
Well, again, you being the diehard golfer that you are right now, just one more thing to try and change about him and steer him right.
After five lessons, Bob, I just don't get why people are obsessed with this sport.
Oh, no! No. You're supposed to be on my side. You already are ruined after five lessons? I thought you were going to catch
fever. No.
It's over.
Playing the sport. I can understand watching it. It's entertaining. I was locked in to the last major. I loved it. But to play it and sit out there for 5 hours and be frustrated and throw clubs, I got enough aggravation in my life.
All right. Well, I'm hoping we could still spend some quality time together on the golf course at some point. But Monday, I'm going to try to squeeze in.
Any time I spend with you will be quality time.
I'm just going to try to squeeze in randomly golf at some point. Maybe just coming out of a break, I'll just start talking about it. I'll let you know when it's going to happen. You can just listen for Don's reaction.
And since the show is simulcast, I could actually watch it, too.
Ah, there you go. That's literally like the golf ball-sized puffs of steam coming out of his ears. Enjoy the show this afternoon. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Michael Kay on the Goodyear Hotline. Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+. All right, Yankee fans, you just got it for the voice of the Yankees. What will they do? What should they do? Who should be doing it? Is Brian Cashman the guy that deserves to be making whatever changes? We know they have to make changes. We know this is a flawed roster. They're going to have decisions to make at the trade deadline. I can't imagine they're going to be a team that's going to sit there and say, let's just stay pat, or at least not try. Right? They're either going to be sellers or buyers. Which way should they go? And who should be making that decision to pilot the franchise forward? I still think it should be Brian Cashman. I think he deserves, based on his overall body of work, to be the guy to try and fix it. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio, by the way. Tune in tomorrow night for Game 5 as the Suns host the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. So we'll get your thoughts on the Yankees at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And when we come back, if you want to know why Brooks Koepka rolls his eyes every time on the golf tip, every time that Bryson DeChambeau walks by, if you haven't heard what Bryson DeChambeau said yesterday, this is why Brooks Koepka rolls his eyes every time Bryson DeChambeau walks by in the background. That's part of Audio Files coming up next on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
PN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, on the ESPN app, your smart speaker as well. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you're on hold, stay right there. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get it to a couple of calls as quickly as possible after Audio Files.
The audio file.
All right, Aaron Rodgers, right? It will not cease to be a topic, maybe this entire season, but certainly up to and during training camp if he's not there. Bobby Carpenter, old linebacker, good buddies with A.J. Hawk, who obviously is a teammate, good buddies with Aaron Rodgers. Bobby Carpenter hosts a talk show in Columbus, but he was on with Freddie and Fitz, and here on ESPN Radio. He said that he's expecting, I guess, the unexpected. A lot of people think Aaron Rodgers might not show up to camp. Bobby Carpenter says not so fast.
I wouldn't be shocked if he showed up a little late or, you know, made him sweat a little bit. But I ultimately think he wants to play football this year. And he may try to still force his way out. But if they're unrelenting and unwilling to move him, I don't think it's, you know, 38, 39 years old, whatever he is, he's willing to burn a complete year of his career and just sit out. And not only the financial ramifications, but just the career ramifications of not being able to play on a team that, albeit pretty massive, some deficiencies, but they're still one of the best teams in the NFC, and you can tell that by the fact they're in the title game the last 2 years.
And does he love Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, as much as he claims to? Bobby Carpenter says yes.
But don't get it twisted, Frank. Aaron loves playing in Green Bay. He loves the fans. He loves everything about it. And I think part of this, you know, trying to force your way out, it can get real messy in a hurry. And he's had so much success in that franchise. You know, they've embraced him up there. He loves everything that it stands for. He's a quiet guy. He loves the small town feel of Green Bay. And at a time when a lot of guys want to go to the big cities for the bright lights and all that other stuff, that's never really been, you know, what Aaron Rodgers has been about. So I don't think he ever wanted to turn the fans off. But, you know, at the same point in time, I think, you know, this may end up being his last season there. And part of him coming back, there may be some, you know, restructure of his contract or something else that's going to go into it to where this will ultimately be his last season in Green Bay. And that would not surprise me at all if that happens. So I would almost anticipate something like that being worked out. And that way both sides can kind of get what they want, one last shot at this thing together.
You muscle your way out. It's hard to convince the fans ultimately that you love Green Bay or any place as much as you say you do. That being said, we'll see what happens. The one thing I do agree with Bobby Carpenter on, I will believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to sit out an entire season at this point in his career with that kind of money on the line, knowing that that team could. He was an MVP last year with them, 13-win team. I mean, they are good enough to maybe win a Super Bowl if he's their quarterback. I'll believe it when I see it that he's going to sit out the whole year. But at least at the start of training camp, I'll be surprised if he shows up. All right, if you're wondering, as I said before, why Brooks Koepka rolls his eyes every time Bryson DeChambeau walks by, we got another good taste yesterday of why. This is Bryson DeChambeau after an erratic, to say the least, first round where I think he hit 4 of 14 fairways, blaming everything on his equipment.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. And, you know, I'm living on the razor's edge, like I've told people for a long time. And, you know, when I did get it outside of the fairway, like in the first cut and whatnot, I catch jumpers out of there, and I couldn't control my wedges. So it's quite finicky for me because it's a golf course that's pretty short. And so when I hit driver up there and it doesn't necessarily go in the fairway, it's right in the first cut or whatever, it's tough for me to get it out onto the green and control that. It's literally the physics and the way that they build heads now. It's not the right design, unfortunately.
Well, Cobra, his sponsor, after being thrown under the bus, basically came out and threw Bryson right back under the bus and basically said he was an 8-year-old saying something stupid, which I agree with Cobra, by the way. Look, I was at the PGA. A group of us covering the PGA, walking the golf course during practice rounds. Bryson DeChambeau was hitting wedges on 10th hole, 11th hole, something, one of the early back nine holes from about 120 yards away, hit one to the back of the green, and turned around and basically read the riot act to his whole entourage. It was his swing monitor was off or the wedge was off. Everything except it being his fault. So if he's spraying the ball all over the place yesterday, it's got to be the driver's fault. Right, the driver, the face is off. The technology of the driver. My swing is perfect. I have dialed my swing in. I am Iron Byron. I don't miss. So if the ball goes somewhere where it's not supposed to go, it's got to be the equipment's fault. Never operator error. And you want to know why Brooks Koepka rolls his eyes and has this feud going with Bryson DeChambeau the way that he does? That, I mean, I think a lot of guys on the PGA Tour find Bryson DeChambeau, especially for moments like that, insufferable. And Brooks Koepka is one of the guys out there who's basically like, I don't care what you think, I'm going to come out and say it. And it creates this kind of fun back and forth, but that's why. And I think actually today, after Brooks Koepka shot a roller coaster but heck of a round to get himself to 5 under par, and in contention at the Open Championship. They interviewed him on the Golf Channel, and I believe one of his quotes was, by the way, I love my driver. So just doing every can to still troll Bryson DeChambeau, which makes it entertaining for the rest of us. That's Audiophiles. Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get some telephone calls in here. We've had guests wall-to-wall and, you know, three guests and Audiophiles and everything, so I haven't had a time to get your telephone calls in as of yet. Let's get to Chris in New York, who joins us here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Chris.
That's not even showing I even care. Get him in there and do what I have to do. Move on.
Chris, are you talking to me? I couldn't even tell.
That was an angry wife.
All right. Do you want to have her on the phone? But we can have a three-way conversation
She went away. She went. I was on hold. I kind of got lost on hold. But I just wanted to say that, you know, as far as the Yankees, I guess, Cashman's going to be the guy to fix it, whether we like it or not. I happen to like Cashman. But my whole thing is, what I wonder about the Yankees is when the last time we developed a great starting pitcher. I mean, I guess you would have to look for Monty and Severino, and the jury's still out on Severino coming back from injury. But,
yeah, but Severino,
I kind of wonder about our ability.
But I do think they get the credit for developing Severino. Severino, before he got hurt, was really, really good.
Well, the first half of that year was good, but the second half he was kind of faltering. Maybe that was because of the injury.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
But I guess we get to see, what he's going to be. And Monty's been pretty good, but, hopefully that's going to be the key. I think I developing starting pitcher like Davey Garcia would started off pretty good, but then
yep. And also changing the roster. I guess let's put it this way. I hope that the Yankees are much more patient with Brian Cashman than your wife apparently is with you. Like, we got her on the phone to talk about Brian Cashman. Do you think she'd want him fired?
No, I don't think so. She actually likes Cashman, too.
Oh, okay. Does she like you?
She just doesn't like me.
That was the vibe I was getting. All right, thanks for the call. You better get off the phone and go smooth that out, because it sounds like whatever fuse or whatever leash you've got, it's a short one. Quickly, let's get in. Sellers in New York joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Sellers.
Hey, how you guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I just believe now, after the COVID era and stuff, that it's time to clean house. The Brian Cashman, the Aaron Boone, it's like, look, let's wipe the slate clean and give someone else a chance to make the Yankees a dynasty again. Because I don't believe those two are going to do it. They're not going to get it done. They're going to sign free agents. We're going to play it out until free agents. Boston is not going to let off now.
Okay, you're right. They might not do it, but I guess my question would be, you've got a general manager that has never presided over a losing season and has perennially, for the most part, had you as a playoff team. So if you just took that resume and stacked it up against anybody else that you might bring in here to hire, Brian Cashman's resume is better. So does that not, with all the success that he has presided over for 25 years, not warrant? Granted, he has presided over this roster filled with mistakes, but to realize, all right, I've made mistakes, and now he should get the chance to fix them.
What about Epstein? I mean, he went out from Boston to Chicago and made an impact.
And now they're dismantling that team. I mean, they're dismantling the team that he put together. So thanks for the call. I understand. Look, you are always – it's like the backup quarterback. You're always going to want to go to the guy that's not doing the job right now and say he could do better, and I can't prove you wrong until that guy comes in and doesn't do better. What I'm saying is Brian Cashman has a 25-year resume of putting together pretty good baseball teams. He's made mistakes. But based on that overall body of work, if I'm the Yankees, I'm giving him the chance to fix them. More of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll squeeze in as many as we possibly can before we have to say goodbye after this word from Credit Karma. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make a purchase between now and July 23rd, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney. to sign up for free and have the chance to start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma, sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Bob Wischusen coming back to squeeze in some more calls on Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Tonight, NBA Finals, ABC and ESPN Radio. Back in action, a pivotal Game 5 between the Bucks and the Suns. Also, the Yankees and Red Sox. The testing looks good right now. They're going to play this weekend. Looks like they're going to play tonight and the weekend. And ESPN Radio will have coverage of both Saturday night and Sunday night's Yankees-Red Sox games as well. So a big weekend on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. A reminder that ESPN Radio, as we lose all of our reads, is brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always find that on the Bart and Hahn podcast, posted every day, available where you listen to your podcasts. And Bart and Hahn, by the way, also normally coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. We've got some callers who have been patient. Let's try and squeeze them in. Let's get to Ben in Chicago. Joins us next year on ESPN Radio. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to bring up what you said about, you know, Brian Cashman. 100% agree with you. You cannot, you know, to want to fire somebody who built such a solid team. You can say, oh, he doesn't have any lefties for a short porch, but you got a bunch of guys that hit the ball 500 feet to left field. And also, what do you say the Yankees do? Like, are they going to trade? And if they do, who's on the market for them? Is that Frazier and Andujar?
I mean, the Cubs, that's a good question. How much could you get for a Clint Frazier or an Andujar? Based on the role Andujar has now, he's basically had a couple of moments in the spotlight this season but hasn't done much. Clint Frazier's been terrible. I mean, I can't imagine there has ever been a time as a prospect or as a pro where Clint Frazier has been worth less than what he would be worth right now in a trade. I would think it would be you're either bringing in salary or you're giving up lower-level prospects. As Michael Kay pointed out earlier, you know, Jason Dominguez is probably the best-known prospect at this point that's marketable in the Yankee system. Davey Garcia seems to have taken a step back in the eyes of many. But down at the A and AA level where their teams are doing very well, players at that level could draw interest. I would think the biggest decision for the Yankees would be, are they going to take on payroll, right? Would they be willing to go over the payroll threshold, which they have been hesitant to do in the past, if they think it's worth it? Now, we're going to find out over the next 2 weeks. We're going to see how they play against the Red Sox and the Rays and if they earn the right to make a trade. You know, I mean, maybe you bring in a Javi Baez, you move Gleyber Torres back to second base. I mean, I think there are things they could certainly use. A more consistent center fielding option. Ketel Marte would be, I think, the perfect all-around fit. He's cheap. He's young. But do they have the ammunition to go get a guy like that? I'm not sure. Quickly, let's try to squeeze in Mike in New Jersey, who joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Fire away.
Listen, I can't believe that there are people out there that want Brian Cashman gone. I mean, the guy's a god. Are you kidding me? The guy with the Gleyber Torres or Aroldis Chapman trade?
Yeah,
how could people want him gone?
Well, I think what they're doing right now, and thanks for the call, is they're looking at the current roster. I mean, he has put together a flawed roster. But I think you bring up a good point. He has made terrific trades in the past. As of a couple of years ago, he had a really good team. He has won rings. He has perennially had this team in the postseason. I think that resume, albeit he is the guy that has presided over putting together a flawed team now, I think that resume earns you the right to fix it. To say, yes, I'm not perfect, but I get a chance to fix it. That'll do it for me today. Have a terrific weekend. Enjoy the baseball and the NBA Finals tomorrow night. Bob Wischusen, signing off. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.